Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All right, let's talk to the man who called the action here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, is with us on our Sprint guest line. You know he's brought to you by the 23rd Street Brewery. Full-service brew pub, daily food and drink specials, home of the best happy hour in Lawrence. They're open every day from 11 to midnight, serving food till 10 o'clock. You can find out more at brew23.com. Great TVs, great beer, great food. Great people, great service, a huge fan. 23rd Street Brewery proudly sponsoring Brian Haney's appearance with us here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Brian, how are you, man?
Doing great, Seren. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I guess I didn't have a chance to check Twitter during the break, but I'm sure there's a couple of Kansas fans that are irritated because I'm not just rainbows and unicorns. Great win, though. I've stressed that a number of times. I think this is a great win for Kansas because I don't think they played that well, and yet they still got a win against a high-level opponent filled with high-level athletes. But they also got some things maybe exposed, and we've been talking about their ceiling and what their ceiling is. Let's get to that in a minute. The biggest story, though, last night unfortunately came before the game, and I don't know. I'm assuming you probably don't have a whole lot to add on Billy Preston, but – is there any new news or timeline that comes with it? And if not, then I would ask you, what did it do to the team? Did you get a sense that it fired them up, or did you get a sense that maybe it sucked some energy? We know what it did to their rotation, which was why I think Kansas didn't win by double digits, which I think they would have with Billy Preston. But what did it do overall to the mindset of the team going into that game?
You know, I think it made them pull together and form a tighter huddle and you know, try to pick up the slack that you lose with a Billy Preston by attacking the offensive glass harder. I mean, trying harder doesn't lead to making shots. And clearly this was not a night where they made many shots, and Bill Self called shot selection deplorable. So maybe they were trying too hard in some instances to make up for the fact that they were shorthanded against the most athletic team they'll face, you know, maybe until the tournament. And so consequently, you know, it didn't look pretty, but I think certainly there was a, okay, everybody tug a little bit harder mentality now, and let's pick up the slack without Billy. But to get that news when they got it, which happened right before the team meal, I mean, that's a heck of a curveball 3 hours before tip-off and, you know, an hour and a half before you're going to hop on a bus and head to the United Center. And, again, he hadn't been starting, and you didn't have him on Friday night versus Tennessee State either, but this was clearly the type of matchup that he came to Kansas to play in, and clearly the type of matchup when you needed that 6'10 frame and that athleticism against a Kentucky team that had six players with a wingspan of 7 feet or longer. And so I think for any of those guys, it was a little bit of a kick in the gut to think, uh-oh, you know, we've been preparing as if we're going to have him, and all of a sudden now we won't. But if anything, I think it showed up the most in just how tenacious they were in attacking the offensive glass. And while ultimately they were out-rebounded in the second half by 11 boards, the same margin they won the first half by, some of the biggest buckets made in this game came on second and third chances because guys went out and got their own miss, or they were able to tip it to a teammate and get a second chance that way. And I think that really speaks to the brand of Bill Self basketball that we've come to know and love over the last 15 years, the out-tough-ya, out-work-ya, better want to factor, and clearly that's what won it out in the end. Second chance points favored Kansas by 8 last night in a game that was decided by 4, and even though the ultimate rebound edge was even, it was those buckets that came off of offensive boards, I think, that put Kansas on top in the end.
Yeah, and it did. They did want it more, and John Calipari called out his team at halftime for not wanting it more and getting beat on the glass so badly. But the want to in Kentucky, as those kids realize how important it is to the school, to John Calipari, to the students, to the fan base of Big Blue Nation, that 1-2 is going to get better for Kentucky. So I'll ask you, what is the ceiling on this Kansas team? Because the one thing I came away concerned about was that, you know, the ceiling, you know, we know there's a lot of growth potential for Kentucky, and Kansas should be more of a finished product with a lot more veteran players. Now, I think there's a lot of ceiling for Azubuike still to go because he just hasn't played that much college basketball. So I thought he made a much bigger impact than the 13 points he put on the board. But what is the ceiling for this Kansas team? Like, did you come away a little bit, or did Bill Self, maybe even more importantly, who cares really what me and you think? You know, did he come away maybe looking at that Kentucky team going, okay, I'm glad we got him in November, and I don't want to see him in March?
I think we all felt that going in, that this was the time to catch Kentucky. The average age on their team is 19.4 years old, and so to catch them in game three as opposed to month number three was a huge leg up, and they are going to get better and better. But so too will Kansas. I think the way you have to look at it is you had a six-man rotation last night, and you know, a month from now we may be talking about eight or nine men, and if Billy Preston comes back soon, and we hope that'll be the case, they're working on this as expeditiously as possible. If you get a chance to add another five-star big coming up here at semester, and we don't know how that's going to play out, but Coach Self has spoken somewhat confidently that they feel like, you know, Silvio Tsosa is a guy that they could add, who at one point in time was a top five overall prospect. And then you get Sam Cunliffe on top of that. And Coach has said that he thinks Sam's probably still a year away from truly being the breakthrough guy that he can be, in part because he'd be, you know, mired in a, you know, six-man wing rotation in which he'd be sixth on the list. But a night like last night, you could have used his athleticism. He's one of the best athletes on the team, a son of a track coach. His sister's a track star in the Pac-12. And you could have used some of that against the most athletic team that Kansas has seen. And so I think to look at it from the scope of, man, you know, certain things were exposed, and if we don't shoot well, we're going to have a hard time winning, I think that might be too narrow-minded, because this Kansas team, I mean, a third of what their rotation could be by the time the calendar flips to 2018 wasn't there last night. And two of those three guys are five-star prospects that would help you in the post, and the other's top 40 guy. So I think this Kansas team clearly is limited right now based on the number of bodies they have to roll out there, which not only affects the way you play in terms of asking more out of each guy, and maybe they're pressing or maybe there's fatigue, but also affects, you know, having to stay out of foul trouble and not being able to turn it loose as much in certain spots because you know there's nobody behind you to put in. And, you know, you can't hide Udoka and his bad free throw shooting right now because there isn't another big to put on the floor, quite frankly, that you trust as much. But that could change a month from now. So I don't leave there feeling bad at all about, you know, what the overall scope of KU looks like within this season and what their ceiling looks like. I feel encouraged that they found a way to out-tough Kentucky and out-want it against these Wildcats last night when they were playing shorthanded. And, yeah, you know, we probably, you know, won't want to see them in March because they'll be a much better team by then. But I think so, too, will Kansas. I think Kansas will be a much better team here in a couple of weeks maybe, or certainly come December than what we saw last night.
So they're working towards it. They're optimistic that they can get the Billy Preston thing solved. There isn't some dark cloud hanging there.
That's my understanding,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe Coach will have more on Hawk Talk tonight at 6 right here
right.
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And that is a great reason to listen to it because I'm sure Kansas fans are very interested. And you said that Coach Self remains optimistic that D'Souza could be added here for the second semester. That still seems to be I know it's on the front page of the sports section. I don't know the paper, the front page of the sports section, but there's still great optimism. It's not like it's a long shot. They're feeling pretty good about that.
I think so, absolutely.
Okay.
He's only been able to speak publicly about it for a couple of days now, but I think so, and that's been the expectation all along, which would be quite the coup for Kansas. Like I said, you know, prior to him slipping in the rankings a little bit because he didn't play as much summer ball as other guys, they really felt like he was a top five overall player in the class. So you talk about a guy that could step in and change things instantly just by being a really skilled bigger body. Wow. Imagine that coming off your bench than what they have been working with, and that has to get you excited.
Oh, were you disappointed? We're talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. He's brought to you by the 23rd Street Brewery. Were you disappointed in the guards' ability to finish at the rim? I know Kentucky's an athletic team. They're a long team and all those things, but those are the kind of athletes you got to finish against to do what Kansas fans want this team to do. We know, unfortunately, the bar is so high at Kansas. I say an Elite Eight is a successful year anytime you get there, but for a lot of Kansas fans, that's some ceiling that needs to be broken down. If this is going to be a Final Four team, you're going to have to beat teams with the kind of athletes that Kentucky has, particularly, and you saw firsthand that game before yours and how good those two teams looked. Is it disconcerting that Graham and Newman in particular, but even Svi, that they, you know, Vic was the one guy that seemed to be able to get in there and get to the rim. The other guys seemed to really have to go to some you know, up and under and swinging around. I mean, I don't know how many times Devontae Graham up and undered and tried to whip it up and get a little English off the glass to get it there, and they were almost some spectacular plays. He might have made one or two of them, but they consistently had trouble finishing at the rim, and that's not normally how it looks for Kansas.
You're right, it's not. And Frank obviously was so good, despite his lack of stature in terms of size, he could find a way to be slippery and get in there and finish. And I think Kansas will get better as the season goes, but this was the first real link they'd seen since Missouri, and obviously even more so than what Mizzou could throw at them. And when you're going up against Fort Hays State and Pittsburgh State and some of the semi-pro talent they went up against in Milan, everything came so easy, and now everything's contested. And even if you have a nice first step on the initial blow-by move, here comes some of that other 7-foot wingspan I was just talking about to put a hand in your face, and they didn't finish. And I think, to call it like it is, I think Devontae was pressing a little bit last night. I think that a year ago when it was Frank's team, his big moment came on that stage at Madison Square Garden in the Champions Classic, and this is kind of the year of Devontae around here, and I think he felt like, okay, this is my time to shine, and they need even more from me now that we're going to be even more shorthanded. And I think he thought, much like that Mizzou game, that he could come out as the spark and the catalyst. And remember, he opened 5 for 5 there at the Sprint Center in a big-time atmosphere, and we were off and rolling. Well, he didn't open 5 for 5 last night. He opened 3 of 10, and then he didn't hit a shot in the second half. And I think there were times when he got wide-open looks, not even talking about the stuff at the rim that you're talking about, mm-hmm. and he couldn't knock him down. And, they were using a different basketball last night than I think they anticipated using, and sometimes that can get between a kid's ears. But I think more than anything, they just all felt the pressure to have to bring a little something extra right now, because if you consider who they beat Kentucky with a year ago, 54 of those points came from Josh, Frank, and Landon, and those guys are now gone. Devontae had an okay game against Kentucky last year, but now all of a sudden he's got to be the guy. And I think when shots weren't falling early, and they weren't falling for many of his teammates, I think they pressed even more. And you look at who should be the best three scorers on this team, and that's Devontae, LeGerald, and Malik. They were a combined 11 of 41 in this contest, and there was never a stretch where you felt like any of them was really going to truly catch fire. And even Svi, who hit some of the biggest shots of the night, he was only 30% from beyond the arc. So it was truly one of those things where I think it kind of snowballed on Kansas, but they still found a way to win. They found a way to hunker down defensively and force 18
turnovers. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, man. The toughness that they showed, and because it was a bad shooting. Now, I do think that a lot of times as fans, particularly early in the year, it's like, well, we didn't shoot well. I mean, Kentucky contributed to that. I mean, there are some long kids that force you to maybe take the shot a little bit quicker, move the ball, make the pass a little bit quicker because of how far they can get into the passing lane, which means your shooter catches it down at his knees instead of in a good catch-and-shoot position. There's all the little things that athleticism can do that maybe isn't readily available to people who haven't played the game a lot or studied the game. And so I do want to give credit to Kentucky, but I don't think Kansas played nearly as well as they can, and yet they still won. And that's great toughness, and that is their experience. Their experience ultimately brought them through this game. So what is their ceiling? Do you think that this is a team that still, you talk about them getting better, everybody should get better. Do you feel like they're a team that can go, have a better day, get these guys up front and be ready to go toe-to-toe with the teams you saw play before the Jayhawks and Wildcats?
I think so. I was talking with Jeff Goodman off the air last Friday night when he was in town for the Tennessee State game, and he really felt like if they got Silvio, Kansas instantly became a legit national title contender, whereas right now, in his mind, they were kind of on the fringe of being that just because you don't have much depth in the post. And when you take Billy Preston out, my goodness, I mean, it's really just Doak, and then you try and get a couple of minutes to spell him from Mitch. But I think that's a game changer if you can get it. And Billy Preston will be a game changer for Kansas once he's in there. I still contend they have the best backcourt in America, 1 through 4. But clearly it's not going to look like that when you have a night where they're all struggling to hit. And it's my hope for this team, as we keep talking about ceiling and that sort of thing, that they don't become so reliant on the jump shot and only reliant on perimeter scoring that a night like last night can end your season. And that's where you hope you do get help in the post, and you can continue to feed the big fella. Udoka didn't miss last night when they got the ball to him on deep catches. He's still a liability at the free throw line where he was 3 for 8. But, you know, they weren't able to play as much inside out as I think they'd like to. And that'll come with more depth there, but also more seasoning for Udoka as we go. And these guards trusting that he's going to be able to catch it if they try to force it in there. But, you know, we hadn't seen Devontae Labor shooting the ball like that since the last time Kansas was in a big-time atmosphere and lost, and that was the Oregon game. And I think that's part of what fueled him to come back, was to write a different final chapter for himself. And I think he will. But he's not Frank Mason. And I think he can still have an All-American caliber season. It's just going to look different. And I don't think he's on that National Player of the Year page just yet. But for me, I think this Kansas team becoming more complete both inside and out to where it doesn't have to be a good shooting night for them to beat anybody, that's the key. And the good news is there's help on the way. It's already on campus in the next 4 or 5 weeks as well in another five-star guy, and not many teams can say that right now. And again, we're dealing with could-bes, not definites. But I'll go to battle with any of these guys any day of the week when you got a backcourt that good and then the potential in the post that's even in a not ideal circumstance where you're trying to grow up Billy Preston in his first and possibly only year and you're taking another guy halfway through the season. Look at Bill Self and his staff's track record with getting the most out of bigs. I think they can patch this thing together, and it's not like they're having to do it with kids they're pulling off the street. I mean, we're talking about possibly 2 5-star guys you didn't see last night that'll come in at 6'10 and 6'11 and really be game changers for
you. Yeah, I agree. That will be huge because I also think that makes Azubuike better. I give the kid credit for warrioring up. I should probably pick a different word because that's clearly beyond
that's
my
like
ability.
That's like the rural juror.
Yeah.
The rural juror.
Yeah. USA Today, you know, stupid things like that. But no, he went out and went 34 minutes, and Bill Self told us at the Big 12 Media Day that 25 is what he thinks is perfect for him. And, you know, he continues to be a work in progress conditioning-wise, but if he can go full bore for 25, you know, I then you can still be productive with real big guys on the floor that you don't have to really just totally overcommit and help on defense, and yeah, then he gets even more effective. I thought his game, his presence on the floor was much bigger than his stat line was out there. But I do think the last 10 minutes of the game, the only rebound he was going to get is if it fell in his lap, too, because he just was completely spent. So all around, there I'm with you. A lot of room for improvement for this team. Last subject that I would have for you, and that is the schedule. You know, South Dakota State, Texas Southern, we head into the, you know, getting in towards the holidays, Oakland, Toledo. For Syracuse on December 2nd, I'm here to tell you my Orange aren't very good, not by the normal Syracuse standards. They're not anywhere near the top 25. Washington blows. I'm not sure what Arizona State is. I got to do a little more research on what Bobby Hurley's got, but I don't think they're that great. Nebraska, no. Stanford, I don't think so. They're not really getting the kind of tests that they usually get. Is that good or bad? Is that good because there's going to be a lot of moving parts that are going to be trying to come together, or is that bad that they're not going to get a big challenge like they usually do in years past when Bill Self has really stacked a monster schedule? And I'm not saying those teams are crap. You know, Oakland's favored to win their league. You know, Toledo, I'm sure, is probably top 2 or 3. Bill Self does, I think, a better job than anybody of building that RPI by playing good mid-major teams, good to very good mid-major teams. But overall, they're not going to get another team like this until maybe, I mean, at least West Virginia.
Sure.
What do you think about that schedule and how it's going to help or hurt them?
You know, and the other one that we haven't gotten to because it's buried in late January,
A&M.
Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And we saw what they did to West Virginia on opening night. Now, that's not Kentucky at Rupp Arena like we saw last season, but I do think that's, you know, an impressive foe that will look like a resume-building win. You're right that this isn't quite what we had a year ago. I mean, keep in mind, those three schools that Kansas was in Chicago with last night, KU beat all of them last year at one time or another, two on the regular season schedule and obviously Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. And when you scheduled Washington, you didn't know it was going to look like this with – the coaching change and recruiting classes following through and all that stuff. And Arizona State will be interesting too. You know, as Coach Hurley, you know, he lost obviously a great player in Sam Cunliffe, but adds in Carlton Bragg, who won't be eligible yet, obviously. But that's an interesting program that's on the rise as well, but still in the early stages of him really getting it going. So I think for the short term, it's actually good, not knowing if Billy Preston will be able to play on Friday night or not, and that, again, is for Coach to talk about tonight, not me. But you kind of like it that you can exhale a little bit, although South Dakota State's been a tournament team in recent years, and you certainly respect the Jackrabbits a ton. But the fact that you don't have Kentucky followed by Indiana, remember that stretch last year where you opened with Indiana and Hawaii, and then you got Duke the next game? You don't have to do that back-to-back and continue to play shorthanded against Blue Bloods. So maybe this is a good time not to exhale at all. You got to keep the pedal to the metal, but to not have one after another of juggernaut matchups. And I think when it's all said and done, as you just alluded to, this schedule will prove to be much more formidable in the RPI rankings than what it appears on paper, because Larry Keating and Bill Self do such a great job of what you just said, looking 2-3 years in advance at who's going to be a resume booster, not somebody that zaps, you know, your forecast heading into March.
All right, time for our Kansas Lottery Final Four. Callers 8 and 10 right now win a lotto prize pack from us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Remember, you can enter your non-winning holiday tickets, $1, $2, $5 tickets, $10 holiday greetings, instant tickets. You can enter them when you don't win in the Kansas Lottery Play On Loyalty Program for your chance to win $1, $5, $10, even $15,000 in second-chance drawings. Go to kslottery.com for details. Brian, I'll start you with this. Have you seen Thor?
I haven't. Should I?
I don't know. I know I'm not a comic book guy. I just didn't know if you were.
I'm not. I'm really not. But, hey, man, I'll take your movie recommendations anytime you get
it. No, I haven't seen it, so you're not missing anything from me. All right, tougher name to call for Kentucky. Sasha Kilyea-Jones or Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Gilgeous-Alexander, I think, was the tougher one, just because, man, they play at such a fast pace, and when you've got, like, eight syllables and a hyphen in there and all that, I felt like a hockey play-by-play guy. But then I'm reminded of these PA announcers when Kansas comes to town, and in our starting lineup, it's Vyacheslav Mikhailiuk, followed by Udoka Azubuike, and that's got to be a nightmare for a public address announcer that's never seen those names before.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I always listen to that to hear how they do. Did they nail it last night?
They were 0 for 2 last night.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And really, 0 for 2 is 0 for 4 when you get both the first and last name wrong.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I knew he butchered Azubuike. But you know, we'll leave it at that. All right, what's the Jayhawks record going into the Big 12 tournament? Or just tell me how many losses. I don't know how many games there is, so I'm not expecting to get that. But going into the Big 12 tournament, how many losses?
Let's say that they go 15-3 in the conference, and you know, I don't want to sit here and say they're just going to run the table in the non-con based on what we just said, because there's always a stub-your-toe moment somewhere in there. But I think 14 straight happens, and I think it happens with maybe a week to go in the season because they went 15-3.
Okay. So I think they put them like 28-3, I'm going to say, I'll put you down for. You got them winning the non-con or you got them losing one?
Well, like I said, there's usually a stub-your-toe San Diego-type moment in there.
All right, 27-4.
The voice of the Jayhawks isn't going to come on Kansas City's best sports talk show and just, you know, predict some random loss that we can't put a finger on. So, yeah, 28-3, you got it, man. Chalk it up.
Let's put it down. There you go. I like that. bold, strong prediction there. And finally, what was your favorite spot in Chicago? You got a go-to place in Chicago you like?
This was a quick trip, man. We didn't have a chance to do a whole lot because we got in on Monday night and came home last night at 3 in the morning. So couldn't get out and about too much. But we hit up Gibson's down in the Gold Coast area, and there's some cool bars down there. So it was a good scene and good group of Jayhawks out, man. Our alumni base up there is phenomenal. And so even though it was a Monday night, it felt like a Friday of the Final Four because they were getting after it.
Yeah, it was. It was always an impressive showing from the Jayhawk fans. They're such great fans. Great job on the call of the game, Brian. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, sir, man. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, you bet. The voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you by our friends at 23rd Street Brewery. Matt Llewellyn and his team do such a phenomenal job over there, whether it's before, after, or even to go watch you some Kansas basketball. You're not going to find a better place in Lawrence. 23rd Street Brewery, full-service brew pub. Great food and drink specials every single day. Best happy hour in Lawrence, open daily, 11 to midnight. Serving you food till 10. Find out more at brew23.com. Andy Reid's press conference coming up here in a little bit, and we'll talk about some Kansas City Chiefs football. Frank Pohl coming up in the noon hour. We're going to talk to Jake Trotter from ESPN about the college football playoff rankings in the 1 o'clock hour. You're in the program.